Welcome to the San Antonio FC Fancast. I'm not going to do it that long today. We're fine. That'll work. That'll suffice. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining. I'm your host, Royce. Along with me are four of my favorite people in the world. Possibly. Could be. Maybe. People I like to talk to. Absolutely. First, we got JC, Jonathan Check, at CheckJFooty on Twitter. Also see his writings at bluishmoon.wordpress. Jonathan, how are you?
Doing fine. Harry was asking earlier how I was doing, and I don't know, just kind of a normal week. Everything's fine. Everything's routine, I suppose.
Yeah. Jonathan going with the full Han Solo. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. We're fine. How are you?
Thank you. Also, I shot first.
You know what? Han. Yeah, that's the original. Yeah. I mean, everybody just trying to criminalize, what's his name? Grudu or Grodu?
Greedo.
Not a big Star Wars fan. Greedo. Sure. Sure. All right. Come at me at Royce the Voice. Zeros for O's, all you Star Wars geeks. I'm sure you're going to come after me for that one. Also joining me, Harry. Harry, how are you?
Doing well. First win. Pop the beer. Matt, you can't pop a beer because your team didn't win this week. Mexico lost. Dos a zero.
So, I was going to say, Matt can drink two beers for every goal that Memo Ochoa should have saved. Dude's passed it. Absolutely. Also joining us, MLS Matt. Matt, how are you?
Great. Texas beat Colorado this week. That's all I care about.
Yeah. That makes Harry very happy.
It should have been different. It should have been different for that Mexico game. It should have been a better game than it was, but it is what it is.
Yeah, it should have been a better game, but Mexico sucks. We also have Robert. Noted USMNT fan Robert, who got to hang Hollywood. Out with Hollywood Robert, there you go, who got to hang out with the likes of Clinton Dempsey. I saw Carly Lloyd, Charlie Davies was there, a lot of USMNT alumni. And this is Robert, former goalkeeper with still standing school records at St. Mary's University here in San Antonio.
Yes,
Robert, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm making it. I'm managing. Like telling everyone earlier,
glad you're safe, man.
It was like it was one of those Vegas style vacations where from Wednesday all the way till Sunday night it was nonstop. Up, sleep 3 hours a day, get up, do it again, and it was neat. It was a whirlwind. It was fun. Best soccer experience I've ever had. You know, from start to finish, between two wins and meeting all those famous U.S. men's and women's national team players. It was amazing. It was neat.
All those legends. World Cup final hat trick scorer, Carly Lloyd.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say which one, but I'm glad you didn't get quite as hammered as one of those personalities. So, absolutely. So, here we go. Let's move right along. First thing we're going to hit. Normally, we do the SAFC alumni corner, but first we're going to do transactions, and then we're going to kind of permeate our way into the alumni segment. That's not the first one I was going to do, but that's fine. The first one I was going to do is the academy signings. We have academy signings. These are ones that one of these I was expecting, the other not so much, but I really am glad to see it. Dalziel Zuna has signed an academy contract to join SAFC, which is great. United States youth national team player, he's gone to a couple camps, a very promising midfielder, as well as SAFC academy goalkeeper was also signed. So we have three layers. That's Brandon Gongora. So we have three goalkeepers now on the roster, which is great. We haven't had this since was it 2017 season with Bonilla, Cardoni, and at that point Diego. It wasn't far at that point. It was Diego.
You were saying 2017. You said Bonilla. That was 22.
Oh, that's right. No, you're right. That was 22. That's right. In 2017, it was Diego. It was Cardone. Was it? Was it Lee Johnson? Lee Johnson at the time. So we've had, this is the third time we've had three goalkeepers in the room, which is great. So like the depth. And the other big transaction that happened, you can bring the graphic back up. Thank you, Santi Patino, all-time leading goal scorer for San Antonio FC. Can't say enough about this guy's work ethic, just nonstop running, just a nonstop player, an amazing player to watch, amazing player to have wear the crest of your team and to watch week in, week out, to watch his craft. He has been transferred to Ho Chi Minh City in the Vietnamese First Division League for an undisclosed fee. We are still trying to research exactly how much that fee is. We'll get back to the other later point, but we did find out that last year, last August, San Antonio FC reportedly paid $100,000 transfer fee from Avaí FC in Brazil to get Santi Patino services for the playoff run last year. So that's interesting. And we also found out that his salary, which for those of you that enjoy numbers, he will be making $10,000 a month in Vietnam. So we don't know exactly what his salary was here in San Antonio. According to, was it Devin Kerr?
Yeah, it was Devin Kerr and Mike Watts.
Right, that pretty much said, it's not far off from what he was making here in San Antonio FC. So that's a very interesting figure and kind of something to keep your mind on when people kind of think, how much do these players make? But seems pretty comfortable.
I think where the key comes into is, even though we're in Texas and there's no state tax, the power of the dollar goes a lot further over in Vietnam. So,
100%, absolutely.
$10,000, let's say if the amount is $10,000. $10,000 here compared to $10,000 over there is quite a bit of difference when it comes to the cost of living.
100%.
Comes to there. So
completely agree with that, and that's a very valid point. And at the same rate, perhaps it's easier for his family to visit him from Colombia instead of going to the States to go to Vietnam. Perhaps that's a little easier. Flights might be a little more expensive, but visa wise might be a little easier. And also it's a new challenge for him. He hasn't gone to Asia. We know he's from South America. He's come to the States. It's a new challenge for him. So, we'll be watching no matter what. I already have my Google Alerts set. I have my Instagram set, because Ho Chi Minh City only has an Instagram. They don't have Twitter or Facebook. So that's kind of the easiest one to follow. So, and Santi also scored in his first preseason match with Ho Chi Minh in a 2-1 victory for them. So we'll see. We'll see where that turns out. Ho Chi Minh City also got rid of their number one striker. So Santi seems like he's going to slot in as their number one striker. And they touted him on Vietnam News, which is a reputable newspaper there in Vietnam, as the big splash signing of the team for this transfer window. So we'll be following, and we'll keep you all updated on how everything's going with that. And other SAFC alumni.
Do y'all see him going bigger?
I see him going into a different league. So one of the things that Ho Chi Minh City, talking to Chris, why am I forgetting Chris's name? Oh my goodness. Australian Chris, Aussie Chris. Hockman, thank you. God. Kind of talking to Hockman a little bit about it. Ho Chi Minh City really sees themselves as a Asian Champions League competitor, and so this is kind of hoping to get them back in that line. They're because
third right now,
right as of right now, they are 7th out of 14 teams. They have 18 points through 13 games, 9 points over the last place team. So they're not doing great, and it seems like they need some goal scoring. And let me tell you, they found the right guy. So I think he's going to dominate that league. I can't wait to see how well he does, because I know he's going to do really well. And who knows, maybe some of the bigger teams in Australia will come looking. Some of the bigger teams in South Korea will come looking. And we'll follow his career, and we'll see where he ends up going. In other SAFC alumni news, Josh Yarrow scored his first goal. I believe that's his first MLS goal. Am I correct in saying that? after a super long career, got drafted. I mean, he's current career, but got drafted by Philly Union, and then went to Bethlehem Steel. From Bethlehem Steel, had another stop, then came here to San Antonio FC, went to San Diego Loyal, and I was with St. Louis, and scores his first MLS goal. So that's – and one of the better guys, one of the
and he was
better people that
– signing as well, by the way.
Absolutely. So one of the better human beings I've ever interacted with at San Antonio FC, and just one of the nicer people you could ever hope to meet. So love to see that. Love to see that success story. Love to see him back in MLS and doing what he does. Just a very solid player at any level. And additionally, on top of that, the first Suna Yuska playoff promotion playoff match, that's Jose Gallegos' team. In the second division of Danish soccer, their first promotion playoff match is the 30th of March. So not this Saturday, but next Saturday. And there's basically, they separate their 12 team league into a 6-team relegation league and a 6-team promotion league. And they just have to kind of keep their head above water, and they'll be automatically promoted to the Superliga, which is exciting.
March 30th?
March 30th is the first match. Yep.
Yeah, just to clarify, that is this Saturday.
Oh my God! Oh wow! Yeah, it is.
Where did your March go, Royce?
Buddy, I started a new job. Let's not talk about it. I am lost. I am completely lost. My brain is mush. So what kind of transition, real quick? We did have a couple players that were missing for the match against Colorado Springs, and because they got called up for international duty, that's Burra, got called up with Guinea-Bissau. Thank you, Guinea-Bissau. And Shana Gomez got called up to Trinidad and Tobago.
He had a hell of a match. He didn't score.
That was those lines,
but
his work rate.
Yeah,
his work rate was unbelievable, as we normally expect Shana Gomez's work rate to be. But on the international level, I know a lot of eyes went on him, and a lot of people were really impressed. But they did lose 2-0 to Canada, which is unfortunate, but can't say it's not unexpected.
So, ready for break?
Did you want to go through this?
No, I want to skip that one right now. I want to see if there's going to be further information that come through here for it here.
Fair enough. Incomplete reporting? Us? No way.
Well, so. Basically, USL, and they've already been doing it, but they initially came out officially introducing Young Player Sporting Initiative, where it allows the home team only to allow two academy-structured players on here. I've been in discussions, and even the Phoenix Rising general manager kind of piped in, because my thing was like, hey, I like the rule, but it should be both home and away. So that way, because right now as it stands, you got 18 for away, 20 for the home. That's an imbalance when it comes to the roster. And I know we're talking about academy kids, but was it Ozuna kid? Who has talent, and there are clubs out there that do have high caliber academy kids that, to me, it creates an unfair imbalance here, but we'll hold off on that here. But to me, I do want to, we're going to test this out here. It's a Forever Loyal by the Smart Boys for that here for our break. And then we're going to try to tinker with it to improve the break here, but we're going to go to that here, and we'll be back in about 30 seconds. And we're back here, and thank you to Smart Boys for the authorization to be able to play that song. I think it really will help with the SAFC fan cast and the tradition, as opposed to playing just generic YouTube
royalty-free music. Yeah.
So, thank you for that, but you know, we are going to try to see if we can do it. If you would like to sponsor with us, please reach out to Royce, me, Matt, or Rafa.
That other one. Yeah, that other one. Mm-hmm.
The other one who is at the high schools tonight. The bracketology shows wasn't enough for him. He has to go, go even more. But hopefully, I saw Rafa posted that Mac is 1-1, so hopefully they're able to pull it out with Coach Cano in the 50-50 game for that here. But moving on to the injury report, is that Jonathan or Royce? Who's taking the lead with the injury report?
I guess it would probably be me, since I'm the one that put it out there. For SAFC, no real changes in terms of the people. It's still just Luis Olignac, which is kind of surprising. 3 weeks into the season, we've only had the one injury. I don't know. Have I entered a...
Everybody knock on wood right now. Everybody light candles, knock on wood right now. Are you kidding me, Jonathan? Are you really trying to tempt fate right now, dude?
Hey, what are we doing? That's just that reality. Might be
one show of suspension, man, if something happens.
Okay.
It feels like a norm already, man. Like every season, there's one player for the first 3 or 4 weeks.
Well, no, every season it seems like there are 3, 4, 5-ish players at the start of the season. So the fact that it's only the one player so far is really interesting. And I know some people were maybe speculating about Patino. And, we were kind of talking about this last week. I knew about that. So I knew why he wasn't on the injury list. But so Lignac is the only one still on there. But the change this week was he moved from out to questionable. Now, whether that actually means he has a chance of being available, I don't know. Whether that's just SAFC trying to kind of just give a shrug and be like, I don't know, he might be available, he might not be available, who knows? I've talked about this before. Sometimes you've had players that are questionable for a couple months, and it's like, okay, so they weren't really any, that close to coming back when you started them on this this front a couple months ago. But we'll see how it turns out when Solignac is able to join the team. Until then, SAFC seems to have things covered up top, but never hurts to have another option, especially one like him.
Go on, Royce. You moving to the next one or no?
I guess me. Yeah, I guess we'll move to the next one. Just, got the candle lit right here and put it over there. We'll go through the game real quick. We hit the injuries. I guess we'll go with the lineup. Lineup was basically the same. We did have a slight tweak. We knew, like we discussed before, Shannon as the right wing back was gone for international duty, so Luke kept his spot there at the right wing back. Burrow was out, and Abu did not get the start, so instead of him at the start, you had Omar in the middle, kind of as a 6/8 next to Lambert, as the other 6/8, and in front of them, you had Jorge Hernandez, Agudelo, and then Lacy gets his first start of his SAFC career there as the second striker. This is something we discussed in the Tampa Bay match, that we did not like having Jorge kind of at the second forward. I think that kind of put him out of position and really isolated Agudelo against the center backs. And so this really gave a lot better look and a lot better, a lot more trouble for the opposing center backs to deal with, is the pace of Lacy plus the hold up playing physicality of Agudelo. I kind of like this.
I kind of thought Lacy played the Dylan role a little bit more, where is that big physical along those lines? Because Agudelo was the one making the runs for that here. I really liked Lacy, so that, maybe that's why I'm just.
Lacy showed his pace a lot. Lacy has pace for days. The dude is fast. Agudelo would hold up, but he'd also kind of come back toward the midfield to help out and go wide to the right. But Lacy was just making very direct runs to put off the center backs. The first chance was created by Lacy just running through a center back and an over-the-top ball that got to him, and he got a shot on, but the Herrera, the Colorado Springs goalkeeper, made a really nice save. But same back three. You had Manley, Kendall, and Taintor, and then you had Silva on the left, of course. So, and then Cisniega gets a start as well in the goal. I thought it was, you know, it's a slight tweak from the Tampa lineup, but I think this one is more what I was looking for, what I was hoping for against Tampa. So go ahead and hit the highlights and we'll go through them real quick. Okay, it's going to open up with the softest yellow card I've ever seen in my life, which this ref had a tough time. We'll just kind of put it that way. I know Jonathan's not real happy about that, but he had some very odd and questionable calls and no calls. But anyway, Colorado Springs had a couple chances early. That's one of them, a shot that just kind of never really bothered Cisniega. And then here's a free kick from Colorado Springs in the 27th minute. This one's taken pretty much right at Cisniega. He manages to catch it, hold on to it. So coming up here is an SAFC attack, and I believe this is the Lacy chance here up the side. Comes up the wing to Silva, a little bit of Silva and Hernandez magic again, throw in, comes the Lacy, he turns his center back, and there's that shot that he creates that Herrera makes a really nice save on that I was talking about. And that's kind of what I mean by the pace. He just kind of turned his shoulder and he was gone, and it was, he was one-on-one with the keeper, gets a good shot off, but the keeper just made a better save. So, kind of got to tip your hat on that one, but that was a really nice chance created kind of out of nothing right there. And then here's a interception in the 34th minute, and there the Colorado Springs right back. This should have been his first yellow card. Gives away the penalty to Jorge. Really bad, very late challenge, nowhere near the ball.
Herrera should have got a yellow card as well.
Yeah, going up to Agudelo and scuffing up the spot. But this PK save was really nice by Herrera.
Or was it a poor PK? Let's be honest.
No, it's both. So what? There's one thing, I don't know if I discussed it with Royce or if I discussed it with Harry, but I know for sure I discussed it with Rafa. Before that PK, Herrera was looking into his bag at some notes.
Yes.
And I over discussed it with the ref after the match. We're like, why didn't you do anything? He was like, well, it's a gray area. I was like, how's it a gray area? If you're looking at notes, you're looking at notes flat out. He was like, yeah, but there's his towel and his bottle next to the bag. So how can we say he wasn't reaching for the towel and the bag? I was like, bro, he had his notes 3 inches above his bag. Like, why wouldn't you say anything? He was like, like I said, sir, it was a gray area. I was like, all right, whatever. That looked very planned out. No, thank you.
Don't all teams do that?
Yes.
Hold on. After the last World Cup, when the Australian keeper did that and had his notes on his bottle, IFAB came back and said, that's illegal. You can't have notes with you anymore. You can't do that. You can get instruction from your bench, but to have written notes and to consult those, that's a yellow card offense, and you have to get rid of that. You can't have notes before a PK. That is a new rule within the last couple years that they implemented. So,
but see, and that's why definitely should have been a yellow. I don't understand why there was a gray area, because it was flat out. It was flat out there. And just to reply to Jason, we see your comments, buddy. Just want to let you know.
Oh, shoot, my bad.
But ready, yeah, Harry. He
got a couple things going on right now with the video.
No, you're good. But yeah, he straight up had his notes out, and we were asking the ref, and then I asked Rafa first, because that's obviously we all go to Rafa first to ask. Rafa said it should be okay, but when I asked the ref, he said if it was the notes by themselves, no, it's not okay. But since he had his water bottle and the towel next to the bag, that's where the gray area was. I was like, that doesn't make sense, but all right, sir. The most coolest ref.
My most question, though, ref. Is about the because even before the season, we talked about PKs, who it was going to be. Swagadello got the first opportunity. I hate when they do the stutter steps. I just, to me, it drives me crazy.
I get you. And at the same rate, like, I'm going to say it's not a bad penalty. It's a really good save. To the fact that Herrera goes low into the left.
No, it was my fault, Jason.
And the kick is high into the left. And Herrera is just long enough to where he can put his right paw out.
He needed to go higher, though. Save. It was,
and that's a difficult thing to do. But when he saw Herrera go low, he tried to go high. That's the right idea. He should have pulled it and done, you know, gone the complete other way that the goalie goes. But I didn't think it was a bad. I thought it was a better save than it was a bad penalty.
But what about you, Mr. Goalkeeper of the week here, Robert?
I mean, to me, like Rush said, the keeper made a good save. It's just in those PK situations, I'm not a fan like you are, Harry, of that all that stutter stepping and the nonsense. Just bury it. Just be clinical. Be powerful. And he just tried to do too much, and the keeper didn't fall for it. So, I mean, kudos to Herrera for the save. It was really good.
But from being behind the goal, it felt like he was leaning already to the left. But that's just me.
All right, moving on. Kevin Lambrant with the shot for deflection.
Yeah, and this is where the ball just wouldn't go in for SAFC. Hits off a Colorado player, does the exact same thing, hits off a Colorado player. Colorado players are flopping all over the place.
Well, that's a good play by Tata.
At that point, I was like, is this one of those matches where we're going to lose 1-0? We're just going to dominate the, you know, offensive things and follow.
Yeah. And this is your team of the bench or team of the week bench goalkeeper, Pablo Cisniega, solidifying that with those incredible saves right there. That was three save sequence right there.
Sliding to the ground, it stopped the momentum and the rhythm of that attack, but trying to keep with it as Sniega dives the dead ball harmlessly across the Toyota.
And it pretty much was saying, you know, for the most part, doesn't matter what the other team's doing, pressing actions stay the same. They have stops in place for how to handle different situations. Most teams do, right? I mean, one thing's for sure.
SFD with a spell of possession, transition from the left to the right side.
And an opportunity, that ball. Punch in, stays in,
and that went off. Yeah, that's a shot that went off both posts. That was Lacey's last.
Here comes the new Sam. I'm calling it the new Sam.
Yeah, new Sam, new Tanny. Still don't know how to pronounce his last name properly. We're gonna go with what was it, Mbangwe? Is that how they said it? Hugo. In the stadium?
Mbangu is the official SAFC pronunciation.
Is it Mbangu? Sure. And on Toronto FC2's media guide, it's Mbong, so who knows?
Or you can just go Hugo.
Sure. Nasty back heel, nice cross. I still don't know how that wasn't headed in. Just looking at it, Agudelo had it straight on his head, and somehow he hit it with his back over the goal, or may have gone over his shoulder. Now here is the goal sequence. Here gets cleared out, gets recycled by Abu there, right to Hernandez to Luke with a nice poke pass, first time pass. Mbong couldn't get it. It falls to Silva finishes the goal we've been looking for, the deserved goal. Absolutely the deserved goal. So,
and I would have loved to have raised my SAFC flag there, San Antonio, but
yeah, that'd have been great.
One more week before we settle that, I guess. What a guy.
Yep. Team leader in goals. We have 6 goals. He has 2 of them. He has a third of our goals. How about that? That's a hell of a scoring rate for a left back.
Initially, was Tanner that
and
was
that's kind of Colorado Springs night right there. One-on-one with the keeper, puts it wide. Can't even put it on net. Wow. All right, and then here's kind of the clincher here. Colorado possession. Doesn't do a lot with it. Nobody back. Zero pressure on the ball. A clear foul here on Agudelo, but it goes right to Mbong. He finishes 2-0. Finishes the game. Harry misses out on some high fives right there.
Hollywood Rafa, the ladies that sat behind you that was on the USL page.
Hashtag thank you, AJ. Thank you, AJ.
But he had his first quote unquote date, so I had to pick him up. So.
Hey, those don't come around too often. Yep, there's the bruise, there's Rafa. Everybody but Harry,
even though it was a mice.
It's not in this highlight package, but I think my favorite thing that happened in this match was a Colorado Springs player taking a throw in from behind their bench.
Yes.
One of the best things I've seen ever.
And you got to love Katie Goodman with the call.
No,
he threw it from behind the bench. He wasn't wasting any seconds.
No, that was amazing. Yeah, that was one of my favorite things I've ever seen. It's like, dang, that dude's in a hurry. He's just trying to get on with it. That's fair.
My concern, Hernan, I don't know if he's playing or but with him raising it up on that knee there. That was my concern. So hopefully.
There you go. There's your 3 points. San Antonio FC in three matches has scored so far this season, has scored 2 goals in every match. They tied 2-2 the first game, 2-2 the second game, 1-2-0. So they have a positive 2-goal differential, which is great. They've scored 6 goals in 3 games. That's a pretty dang good scoring record. And on team of the week, we had three people on the team of the week. You had Lucas Silva as a left back for the team of the week, Alan Marcina as a coach of the week, and yeah, Pablo Cisniega on the bench, goalkeeper of the week.
I think if he had had more saves, he would have been on the first.
It was the Hartford. Like, I don't disagree. It was the Hartford keeper that deserved it. The dude just shut down. They played Birmingham, right, in the rainstorm. Completely shut down everything they had. So, can't argue against it, but Cisniega getting some league-wide love, and he's trying to reinvent his career, so that's only great for him. And it's his first clean sheet as an SAFC player, so that's also great. And he looked really good, very confident in this match. I will say in the first half when SAFC was shooting towards the bunker, Pablo Cisniega had a threaded pass from his own box that went to Silva in the other box. One of the best distributions I've ever seen in real in person that a goalkeeper make. We've never had a goalkeeper that could hit that ping pass, and it landed right on the foot of Silva for an attack. So not on the highlight reel, nor was the throw in from behind the bench. Little disappointed in that, but what are you going to do? But that's 3 points for SAFC. That's 5 points overall this season. And they are tied for first place in the West. So pretty good going there. Go ahead, Harry.
I'm going to have you guys do your final thoughts on the Colorado Springs match. And then I'm going to bring up the pre-match tailgate stuff here because I do think it has to be addressed. Okay. I don't want Matt to address it here because he is part of the supporters group. From somebody that is not in the leadership of supporters group. I want to bring it up just as a warning shot to SAFC. So if you guys want to give your final thoughts and then I'll give my final thought, but it, you know, just be fair. It's not going to be on the actual game itself. We'll go with Jonathan with post-game comments from Coach Marcina and players or anything along those lines here that you'd like to touch base. Since you are at the game, in the locker room, or wherever you guys do your post-game interviews, whatever part of Toyota Field that is, let us know what the people said.
Yeah, so we have not done interviews in the locker room since the first season, but for the most part, it was kind of the standard fare in terms of post-game, but the one quote that did kind of stand out to me it's not going to be me questioning Marcina as much this week. In fact, not at all. Like, I agree with him. You know, what he said was something that I had kind of noticed too. But he said, "I'm also extremely proud of the players for understanding this game required some patience with Colorado sitting back. Because we had so much time on the ball, we could get impatient, start forcing things, but we didn't. So that shows a lot of maturity from the players." And I'm just kind of wondering, and we've seen in the past, SAFC can sometimes struggle if they're dealing with a team that, for example, we've seen multiple times, goes down a man and gets more defensive, is just trying to see out a draw, and SAFC struggled with that in the past. Now, you know, part of SAFC's plan over the last few years was kind of predicated on having a lot of that space in behind to play balls through. Well, now, if SAFC is going to be more possession-based, you might see teams, especially when they come to Toyota Field, playing a little more defensively and, you know, sitting back more and kind of looking to take a page from SAFC's book, try and get goals on the counter. So I wonder how much of a problem that might be going forward if SAFC still talks about trying to get those balls in behind. It's if you tell, you know, Marcina said, we're trying to kind of pull the teams, our opponents out of position. So I think it's just going to be interesting to see, is that going to be problematic if teams are going to come here and try and sit back? You know, SAFC was able to do it eventually against Colorado Springs, but it took until the 75th minute for that first breakthrough. You know, obviously you have the PK, but that's not always going to happen. So,
but I think how they're doing it though, is instead of doing the long ball, you're seeing a lot more from side to side to side. And that may be where Robert and Royce and Matt can kind of talk into about that here is instead of going more direct, as we saw in this match here and even here where he required some patience with Colorado sitting back, is that instead of trying to force it, you saw him go from the left to the middle to the right, back to the middle, back to the left, back to the middle, back to the, you know, back to the left along those lines and kind of built it that way. Kind of a little bit, you know, like I told Chris, because it was his first match in 114, I was like, be, you know, get ready for a little bit of Powell, you know, Coach Powell ball, because that's kind of it's kind of a similar makeup where they want to force it if it's there, but if it's not, at least in my impression of that, that's what he's talking about, is where, you know, we're gonna have to force them to change here. But Robert and Royce and Matt might be able to talk a little bit more tactic wise on that. That's how I interpret that.
And like I said, kind of in the beginning, when we started seeing the trend of the more possession style versus just being completely direct, it came kind of with the notion in the, you know, kind of the asterisk that plan A is possession, but they're still going to try to do the plan B if they need to chase a goal. So, and there's always that possibility that depending on the opponent, depending how they come out, especially at halftime, that Marcina could say, all right, plan B, we could be more direct. And this possession style is about being more diverse. But for sure, they will see a lot more bunkered teams. But I think they have the players to break that, right? Especially on the left side with Silva and Jorge, how they've been combining early. Honestly, the U.S. MNT, we saw them defeat a pretty highly bunkered Mexico team in the CONCACAF Nations League final on Sunday, and they did that through Gio Reyna and through Christian Pulisic, and San Antonio FC is going to do the same thing through Jorge Hernandez and Lucas Silva in very similar positions. So I think they're well set up for that. I think that's definitely one of their one of the things that they have a backup plan for. And that they're training for right now, and that's what they're building towards, is to break down a bunker team that's well organized, like a Pittsburgh, whenever they play Pittsburgh. So I think they have a plan for that, and I think this team is just going to grow more into the system, and I think they're just going to get better and better as the season goes on.
I mean, my biggest comment less about the tactics is more so like just that taking care of business when you're at home against a team that's struggling and down, and getting that first 3 points, you know, getting over the hump of tying, all of a sudden, hopefully build that winning mentality for the long term. And that's going to be huge. And one thing that stood out to me is in terms of a player, in terms of I know Mbango scored, but did you guys watch that? I watched it over and over, and I was just taken back by the fact he was just so calm and how he just finished that so simply, is so as if it was like no big deal. To me, that means a lot. He didn't panic. He just literally tapped it in as if he's playing in a Sunday Park League. It was impressive to watch for a young kid like that who's been playing his first game with us. What he may have got here a few days before the game. So to me, that stood out. But like I said, we need to continue to put away teams we need to, because the points are going to matter at the end of the day when it comes to playoff time. So.
Matt, your final thoughts?
I mean, it's like you said, they with their possession, it is going side to side, and you see more passing accuracy, and you see more of them trying to like move the other team into that way they can use those open spaces. So, am I pleased with how they're doing now? Very. Like it's not just, oh, let's punt the ball. Who's gonna get it? Like, it looks very good now. I'm building the confidence for them now. I feel more comfortable of the weight, as Royce would say.
Royce, any final thoughts? So my final thought's gonna be on the tailgate here. This is a picture from Steve Arter's. At the tailgate, I got there around 6 o'clock. I paid the $15 to park just because, you know, I'm in a position where at this time that I can do that. I'm in a position where I like, you know, I knew I had to get out early to go pick up AJ, so it was convenient for me to do it. There was, what, 4 or 5 cars on the main strip next to the road that goes behind Toyota Field. So there really wasn't anybody parking. To me, for San Antonio FC, I understand this week, you know, you could probably justify it a little bit. You know, it was what, Passover, I think is what it is, you know, the week before Easter. Spurs night, the U.S. men's national team, you know, up in Dallas, and Mexico up in Dallas. But I haven't seen a tailgate this thin since Scorpion years. The last year of the Scorpions, when they were just god-awful, for that year after they cashed out, especially at a 6 o'clock time frame, because I got there, you know, when Steve was walking to his car here. So please, San Antonio FC, kind of review that, because I understand there's the, hey, we want to make the money, you know, to be able to capitalize on the parking. But at what expense are you going to be doing it to the tailgate? And like I said, I know that's above our pay grade. I know I have my little discussion with Toyota Field with handheld flags and talking with management at Toyota Field. This is coming from above them, and you know, I know they're going to be having discussions with it. And I brought up the point, what's the difference between a handheld flag and a scarf? Both of them are made of the same thing. You know, I understand if you're being a jerk about it along those lines here, but this is something that if San Antonio FC wants to keep the fan base happy, wants to keep the pregame as a festive event to be able to promote and highlight, you know, when visiting teams come in, this is something that they may need to revisit. We'll kind of talk about it next game here, which unfortunately is on Easter, right? I believe, or Easter weekend. So Saturday before Easter.
I'll put in this point when I talk to Steve. I feel like we can't judge it just yet, because of everything going on right now. And then I don't think we can say anything until April 13th game. Sorry, English is hard. That's coming from me being in the meetings.
You can weigh that here. For me, as somebody that I support all the supporters groups, I've supported SAFC, I've supported San Antonio Scorpion since day one. Me being able to pull up at 6 o'clock and get a prime parking spot, you never used to be able to do. Going to the tailgate and seeing maybe 20, 30 people there, maybe 40. I haven't seen that in, you know, ever with SAFC, ever. Even when it's a rainy day, it's, you know, there were more people out there. So I understand the supporters groups. You know, they're kind of like I am with the SAFC flag on, hey, I'm going to wait and see, you know, give Toyota Field security and management the opportunity to work it out. But I am also going to not just say, hey, I believe that putting pressure on them, at least saying publicly, hey, this is something that we as fans, we see. It may not impact, you know, you may not be making that final decision today, but it's something that you got to think about, that it is having an impact on the supporters groups at this point. And where that comes into, where that becomes extremely important is the donations, is the sponsors that they get. If they don't have people showing up, why are people going to sponsor them? So it's, there's a lot of things that go into this. I completely understand. But if you want to still have the tailgates, there may have to be some give and take, where maybe instead of $15, it's $5 or $7.50 or something along those lines, where there's got to be a happy medium. Because this last weekend, you know, the home opener was one thing, you know, because that was a great crowd. This was a crowd, I think they announced at 6,000, but the tailgate wasn't there for a crowd of 6,000. I'll just leave it at that.
All right. I mean, I've walked to the tailgate as well, and it was pretty sparse. So, and we'll see what the front office does. All we could do is report on it and hope that puts some sort of pressure. So we'll see what happens. But
if it makes it any better, like, to put in perspective for everyone who didn't get to go to a tailgate, and Jason can comment it in the comments, I think we didn't really cook much. I mean, there was no point. I probably opened like 3 bags of sausages for people, and I was like, save it for another game. Like, nobody's coming.
Looks like I think you guys had corn that you guys just put up, because it wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't worth it here. I'm gonna do the USL standings now.
And yeah, then we'll break. I'll go over the results, and we'll do the. We'll do the standings. So real quick, as the results, as we discussed, San Antonio FC 2, Colorado Springs nothing, Hartford 1, Birmingham nothing, Detroit City 1, Loudoun 1, I'm sorry, Detroit City 2, Loudoun 1, Louisville 3, Pittsburgh 1, Indy 11 1, Sacramento 1, Colorado and Tampa Bay also tied at 1, Charleston handily beat New Mexico 4-0, Las Vegas over El Paso 1-0. That is a tough start for El Paso. Miami FC and Orange County both tied at 2, which is a very interesting result. Phoenix beat Oakland 1-0. And on Sunday, Monterey Bay and Rhode Island tied at 2. Go ahead with the standings, Harry.
So where we're at standing wise here, and Coach Rafa 50-50 and Hollywood. You know, SAFC fan cast a member as well said Gold Mac. They're up 2-1 in the second half. So for the hair, but Orange County, well, there's 4 teams with the lead. Technically, San Antonio should be first because they have the 3 points in division, not Orange County, but technically it should be San Antonio. But USL's against San Antonio this year. So Orange County's number 1. San Antonio, Monterey, who we play next, also at 5 points. Sac Republic at 5 points. The Roots at 4. New Mexico United at 4. Tulsa's only played 1 game at 3. Memphis, Rising, Vegas at 3. So congrats to Vegas on their first win. What the heck's going on in El Paso? 4 games, 1 point, 0.25 per match. And the Switchbacks still with 0 points out east. Lou City, surprise, is Detroit City. At 6 points, Hartford at 6 points, Battery at five, Loudoun, Miami, which is kind of a surprise, Indy at four, Birmingham at three, Rhode Island, the Rowdies, North Carolina, both at two, and the Riverhounds struggling. They did score, so both everybody has scored. Phoenix scored as well. Phoenix got the win. But with that, we'll take our final break before we head into the preview and then final thoughts with Monterey Bay. All right, and we are back. And so, Royce, if you want to start the preview, I'm trying to find your Mike Taylor.
The graphic, sure. on Saturday, if you are going to the game, it is a 3-2-1 match, which is $3 hot dogs. Is it $2 sodas, $1 beer, or $2 beer, $1 soda?
Two soda, one beer. I'm pretty sure I looked at it today.
I think, yeah, that sounds about right. So that's a promotion for the night. We play a Monterey Bay. Monterey Bay is 1-0-2. They defeated Phoenix 1-0, and they have drawn the other two matches in their season, including Sunday's 2-2 draw with Rhode Island. They also drew El Paso 1-1. That's where El Paso gets their lone point from this season.
And on their matches, they came back in all of their matches. So they have been down in every single one, and they have came back to draw or pull out the win.
Which shows their character. And it's a good character team. We're very familiar with one of their starting center backs, Kai Green, former SAFC player. Overall good dude and just a very solid USL championship player. They did lose a lot of talent in the off season. They gained some talent in the off season, but they really lost a lot of talent. So, including Gleedle to Lose City. So, we'll see where they come out of that. Harry, do you want to hit on the head to head stats as well as the player to watch for Monterey Bay?
Yeah. So head to head, Monterey Bay's got one win, two draws, five SAFC wins. At Toyota Field, three wins, one draw. The last time was a draw in San Antonio, which was last August when we were drawing every home match, it felt like, for that here. Leading scorer is Tristan Traeger. He's actually a super sub. He comes off the bench. Alex Dixon from Pittsburgh. And Namovi Ferrer has the most shots on target for Monterey Bay. So they are a team that will put shots on. They are a team that I think offensively will challenge San Antonio. But I still expect San Antonio, just with the amount of talent that they have top to bottom on their 18, to be able to, should be able to pull out the victory over Monterey Bay at home at Toyota Field at 7:30 this Saturday. So looking forward to that. Robert or Matt, Jonathan, any thoughts on Monterey Bay?
Can we get another 6-0 win? Was it Monterey? Yeah, it was Monterey.
Yeah, it was Monterey. But that was at the end of in their first season, at the end of their long road trip to start, where basically they're like, "Yeah, let's just get home."
I think they had like three guys on the bench at that time, so they were also just very depleted. You know, a month and a half, 2 months into the season, they kind of had SAFC syndrome where everyone was injured.
Yeah, they were almost on like a rodeo road trip too. They played forever on the road. And it was super hot that night. I remember they were cramping up like crazy, like most teams that come from Cali. But like, to me, it seems like one of those teams, like, sure, they're getting results and it's neat considering the roster turnover, but it feels just like one that we should win once again. Like I said, if we want to claim the top seed or one of the top seeds and continue to have home playoff games. This is a game we have to win. No draws, obviously no losses, but a win is a must. A win is a must.
Final thoughts. I'll start with final thoughts because I think it'll be a discussion. Then we'll end with Royce doing the Mike Taylor, and then we'll go out on the we'll go out with the Forever Loyal by the Smart Boys as well as an outro to go out. And my final thought is USL. Let me get this in for Matt. Brooklyn is coming to the championship. I believe it's next year that Brooklyn is coming in. They were supposed to go to League One. They'll be playing at where the old Cosmos used to play on Coney Island. So it'll be a fun thing there. I'm looking forward to Brooklyn coming in. It'll be interesting to see what they do. Also this week, or actually yesterday at about this time, USL Super League and USL Championship announced that they are going into negotiations with Roswell, Georgia. Listening to Soccer Down Here this morning, that's a northern suburb of Atlanta, Georgia. It's the biggest issue is where they're going to build the stadium. They have an exclusive right, because if you're not paying attention to the soccer wars now, it seems like where USL go, MLS tries to put in an ex-pro team in there as well. And to be fair, vice versa for that here. So you're going to start to see, I think, the leagues lock into a exclusive window that they can negotiate with, which on this one here is through December, although they do have the option to be able to extend. So, but I think for the South, getting a team in the Atlanta metro area, which is where Roswell, Georgia is, would be interesting. And I've been to Atlanta a couple of times. It's a fun city to visit. So big airport hub, one of the biggest in the world. So with you, Matt. Oh, go ahead.
The Hartford is the busiest airport in the world. Yep.
Is it?
Hartsfield-Jackson, oh, Atlanta. Sorry.
Yeah, Hartsfield.
You saying Hartford?
In,
or?
Yeah, I think sorry, he means Hartsfield-Jackson in Atlanta.
Whatever.
In Atlanta.
Yeah, Atlanta International, that is the busiest airport in the world. Yeah,
but we'll go with you, Matt, because you were really hyped on Brooklyn because you wanted us to get it in last week and we shut you down. So this week what's your thoughts on Brooklyn?
I mean, it's pretty cool just to see a New York team. I know we had New York too and all that, but to see something outside, like something different, it was pretty cool. We're doing final thoughts.
Robert, Royce, or Jonathan, any thoughts on any of the new teams coming in?
Yeah, just a quick comment. Are Brooklyn going to play in Trenton, New Jersey, or are they going to play in Springfield, Massachusetts? Because there's no way they're going to get a stadium there in New York proper, right?
No, they're playing where the Cosmos used to play.
It's a joke. It's a joke. Oh. It's a joke. Because New York City FC is still playing at Yankee Stadium because they claim they can't get a stadium.
Well, they're supposedly building next to the
and New York Red Bulls
was supposed to build.
And New York Red Bulls doesn't even play in New York. That's what I'm getting at. That's the joke. Thanks for
neither do the Jets or Giants. So there
we go. Thank you for Harry. We've explained the joke. We've gone too far. We've gone way too long with this. Continue on.
Since you killed the discussion here, I guess, Matt, final thoughts, please.
Hope everybody can come out. I know it's Easter weekend, so I am expecting it to be pretty light out there, and I'm still up in the air if I'm even going, so might be a low.
Are you going to Houston?
No, it's actually my mother's birthday.
Yeah, that's fair, man.
Yeah, so
I don't know. Comes first.
Yeah, I don't know if praying to God they go to bingo and I can go to the game. So we'll see how it is first. But yeah, if y'all can show up. I understand it's Easter. I understand family's first. That's the most important thing. Just keep positive thoughts into the SAFC. I understand all the bumps and all the rough parts, but we gotta just see what's the motive now from
Robert.
My biggest thing is just like Matt was kind of saying, you know, continue to support local. You know, I'm a big proponent of SAFC. And then even the next day, I'm going to go to the Brahmas game. Like, to me, it's just about like if we don't continue to support the local pro teams, then we can't complain there on down the line when they say, why does San Antonio have no pro teams? Because we didn't do our part. So to me, it's like jump in there, do your part, have fun, try your best to ignore the politics. And just for Matt. Wow. USA.
Hey, I want to over under how many times Robert's going to be on TV for the Brahmas.
Dude, just take the over, man. It's like Rafa on.
Take the over. He's going to be one of three fans in the stands. They're going to show him. Jonathan, your final thought?
Yeah, for my final thoughts, I would just say, kind of echoing the conversations we were having about the tailgate, it felt kind of like that first U.S. Open Cup match where, you know, it's some random team coming to San Antonio and it's on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. The sort of, you know, having all the food, the beer, like that was all normal. But in terms of the people, obviously it wasn't nearly as much. And that's kind of what's the point of having all the good stuff if no one's there to enjoy it, you know? So we'll see if something we mentioned is you've also got the NCAA tournament going on. I don't know how much that might be cutting into it. And with this weekend being Easter, we're still not getting a good measure of what it's going to settle off to, what it's going to plateau as. But hopefully we see at least a little bit of improvement, whether it's more people showing up or SAFC maybe starting to reconsider or just be a little more transparent, because I know one of the issues a couple weeks ago was the advertised prices not exactly being what you ended up paying in actuality. So hopefully it's just a better tailgate environment and vibe this weekend. And hopefully we see an exciting match.
Absolutely. And my final thought, 1 week from Saturday is the Mike Taylor Show charity barbecue. Come on out. VIP tickets are $25. We're also doing a drive-through plate sale or just walk-through plate sale. Those are $10 a piece. And that comes with chicken, sausage, and rice and beans. All proceeds go to the Salvation Army Boys and Girls Club. They're off of Peacock Avenue here in San Antonio. Help out some kids in need and come have a good time. It's a barbecue cook-off. There's going to be over 20 teams competing in brisket, chicken, pork, and a specialty item. And all of those items are not going to be completely consumed by the judges, so there's going to be a lot of free samples given out. We're also going to have food trucks. We're going to have a kids' corner where kids can get their faces painted, some bouncy houses. It's going to be live entertainment. We're going to have a country artist. I want to say a national act. I think there is going to be a national country artist act out there for a little bit, who's also one of our guest judges. We have plenty of guest judges that have been announced, including local and a couple national celebrities that are going to partake. So it's going to be a good time. Join us. It's a good cause. And should be a great time on Saturday, April 6th. There's also not an SAFC game Saturday, April 6th. Well, there is. They're just away in Vegas. So it's not like you're going to miss out on any festivities at Toyota Field. Like I said, do it for the kids. We'll see you out there. And we'll also see you out this weekend on Saturday at Toyota Field as San Antonio FC takes on Monterey Bay. Thanks for joining. Hope to see y'all out there. What's life without goals? Peace.